Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, folks. Welcome to The Hang. Today, we're hanging with my friend Emily. It'd be pretty hard to have a hang over the last 6 months or so, and in fact, moving forward without the pandemic being part of the conversation. It has and continues to affect us all in our own ways, but we try to look for the diamonds in the rough, as they say. Emily has certainly been able to get through these tough times with a focus, a goal, and a determination. I found that really inspiring and encouraging, knowing how Emily had to figure out how she was to navigate herself during these times, not be idle, and also not have her future be in the hands of the events of this year. This pandemic has slammed our industry. Emily wasn't going to be defeated. I'm really proud of her and glad we have found some time to hang, catch up, and share.
Welcome to The Hang. Emily, how you doing?
Oh, this is very strange, isn't it?
I was thinking about it. It is strange because we're like less than 20 minutes apart down the road, and we have to do it like this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can't come and say hello.
It's not your fault.
Tier 4 life. It's fine.
Tier 4 life. I will talk about what you've been up to over lockdown, as much as I don't want to talk about pandemic and viruses and all that shit. It's all we listen to every day. I'm tired of it, you know?
Yeah. I don't even watch any news updates or anything. So every time someone says, oh, we're doing this, I don't really know why, but it just gets depressing otherwise. So
it's been a couple months now where I've stopped, especially mainstream media. What's the point?
No, it's just so negative, and there's just no time for that.
No.
We need to stay as positive as possible at the moment.
Yeah, I'm the well is truly dry for that sort of stuff. So I needed to just walk away from it. Regroup, just take care of those around me, and that's all
exactly.
I can do, you know. I'm super inspired by what you've accomplished, so I think we need to go backwards so folks obviously get to know you. You've done a lot of Western work. We officially met when I saw Hadley in Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
When I came with Mandy, and we got to meet backstage and have remained friends ever since.
Yeah, I had a bit of a fangirl moment with my friend Gemma, didn't I? So Hadley was like, oh, Ramin's coming to see the show. And we all just went, what? Okay. And I remember literally me and Gemma running downstairs and Hadley standing by the door just like, oh, he's here.
That's ridiculous.
We had a little moment, didn't we? You're just like, who are these
I'm
two weird girls?
So after Frankenstein, did you go on to another show? What year was this now?
That was, Frankenstein was a couple of years ago now. Maybe 3.
Wow. Man.
It was a long time. Time has gone so fast. I mean, obviously this year has gone so quickly, but I've done 2 things since then. I went straight into Oh my God, that's even longer ago. I went to Wizard of
totally
Oz.
Thrown my...
After Young Frankenstein at the Birmingham Rep. For like a panto season, but it wasn't panto. It was a full-on 3-hour show. So I did that, and that was like for a couple of months, and then I found it really hard to get work after that. I was just auditioning pretty much the whole rest of the year, doing lots of auditions, and then I got panto. So literally, I had nearly 8 months not working in MT. Did other work and then did pantomime and then I got Matilda and then pandemic. So
that's right, because you were when the lockdowns officially started happening and everyone around the world knew, there's something going on.
I was
Where
in Manila in March. So I got the job in end of January. They literally just did like one set of auditions because they already had most of their cast from the previous international tour, so they were just filling up the puzzle really. And we did rehearsals pretty much straight away and then flew to Manila, opened, we did 9 shows, and then we got flown home. So that was literally so heartbreaking, just because literally just have a little taste of it and then that's it. And it was just like, ah, it's very frustrating. But
it's such a great show and the beautiful tour show, you're about to embark on. And to be in Manila of all places too. It's the last place you want to leave.
I know, it was a stunning place, but we were lucky that we got what we got, in all fairness. Like we've all, especially the UK lot, when we've spoke about obviously coming home and how it's affected us, we were just like, it's just frustrating that we didn't get to do more of the tour because the setup was amazing. But we were grateful that we got to open the show at least, because obviously a lot of us, that was our first time doing the show. So we were grateful that we got 9 shows out of it. Because you have to really be grateful for that. Because if we had done all the rehearsals and not got to perform, I think that would have been a worse scenario. So I think, finding what you can be grateful for in that. And that was kind of it, really, because I was like, we had an incredible cast and, 9 shows out of it, which is more than nothing. So. Yeah, I think it was frustrating, but there was also, because it was out of our hands so much, that actually made it easier. It wasn't as if it was like, oh, we're just closing this and you're just going back to auditioning or something. It was like, you're going back because you have to, and there's nothing we or anyone can do about it. And because it's out of your hands, you kind of have to just ride the wave. And that's what we've obviously all been doing since March. it's weird, it's very, very strange, but to think that that was happening. And like a few of us spoke last night and we were saying, oh, we would have been in China last night all together. And it's just like, oh my god, it's crazy thinking that. But
I try not to think about what this year has taken, I guess necessarily taken away from me personally as well, with travels. It's the longest I've been without being on a plane. environmentally, it's probably a good thing, but spiritually and creatively, it's like, oh man.
It's heartbreaking, It's just because it is out of our control. And like, I appreciate that people are trying to do so much to get around things, but there is so much that can be taken away from the fact that we just can't be on stage right now. And obviously, I know like, you've been lucky enough to do bits and bobs on and off stage, but still having that presence of being there full time, it's just not the same. And you can't find that until we actually go back to work properly. It's just not the same.
Yeah, that's right. And also, it's that relationship with an audience. They, I think, are missing being there as well. And it's an escape for them. It's something they love to support. And it's a source of entertainment and escapism, which I like to do whether I'm on stage or in the audience.
Yeah.
And to lose that relationship that's kind of built into a bit of our DNA, into who we are.
Absolutely.
And what we do, that's been difficult. Like, I think as artists, we get extraordinary moments, and the extraordinary, most of the time it's ordinary, and then we get those extraordinary moments.
Yeah.
But all that's been taken away. And I think it's not just for the artist, it's for the patron as well. And knowing you and getting to know you over the last couple of years, I know how that hit you. So how did you pick yourself up? Because I want to get into the story of what you didn't, like you took what has beat a lot of us up, and everyone's had to adapt and overcome and adjust. So let's talk about how you did that.
I just, the main thing was that I needed to find something to focus on. I needed to find something else that I enjoyed enough, knowing that as someone who has had the privilege to work in some incredible shows and stuff, but has also still trying to build my personal MT platform and my name and things, I don't necessarily have that platform yet in my eyes to be able to be like, here's a solo concert, or let's do this, let's do that. And I feel like I've got the contacts to do it, but not necessarily always called upon to do that as well. So I was like, that kind of avenue has to have a door that's kind of half open, half closed at the moment where the MT was concerned. I was like, I'm never going to close that door, but I know that the opportunities weren't there for me. So I had to just find something else to occupy my brain. because I'm one of those people that I can't just sit around and do nothing, because I didn't know how long this was going to last. I think for the first couple of months, we still had the prospect of going back on tour. So we were being told, oh, okay, I'll see you in August, and that's fine. So it wasn't until September, August time that I really went full scale with my PT training and my course, really. By that point, from March to August, I did my level two gym instructor course, and that was just distance learning. I bought the course like a year or so ago. I just never had the time or made the time to actually sit down and do it. So I was like, now I've been kind of blessed with the time, I might as well get straight into it. So that's what I did. By August, I had my level two gym instructor. And then when everything else kind of came more crashing down and we got put into a real lockdown, I was like, okay, I need to just go full hog with this, really. And by, God, I don't even know the timeline anymore. I think it was by like November, I decided the distance learning was quite difficult for me. I was like, I prefer learning visually and with someone talking to me. So I upgraded my course and then completed my level three and level four master diploma PT in the next 2 weeks. So mid-November, I was a level four master diploma PT and a life coach, fully qualified.
That's crazy. Like the hours you must have to truncate it in that time. And you were doing it all online, right? So you
online for the level, yeah, for the level three and level four, that was completely online on Zoom, like a virtual clinic is what they called it. My tutor Ben was absolutely incredible. I couldn't have done it without him. And it was like a crash course. It was 9 to 5 on Zoom for 2 weeks straight, and you do your assessments with different people, and we had a group of about 8 of us, so it's actually quite nice. It wasn't too packed. It was and then you do your assessments with a pair, or I only had like one person with me as a pair. And they'd invite into like the Zoom call an examiner, and you'd just get tested there and then. And it was crazy how it's all done, but it was amazing that you can do it like that as well, that they've found a way to still get the courses going and give everyone the opportunity to do that.
How does an online assessment work? Talk me through that.
So for something like our level three PT assessment, we had to do a Zoom call separately with our client, which was my other partner, and record it on Zoom. So I had to do a consultation, had to do a full-on PT session, like an introductory session for an hour. And we had to use other modalities, obviously, because we didn't have gym equipment. So I'd use like resistance band. We literally used a broomstick for a barbell. It was a bit ridiculous when you think about it, but you have to find ways and means, because obviously it's not necessarily about how much weight I'm putting on a barbell. It's whether I'm telling them how to use it properly and the form and everything like that. So, and instructing them properly, which is obviously what I'm being assessed on. So, and then you record the whole Zoom call, and then you send that in as your assessment. And then you have like a portfolio of written work as well that goes along with that. And then you submit it. So that was the level three. And then in that, there was like a spin instructor qualification, which as long as you had a bike, you just did it all on Zoom and you just followed what they did. And then everyone had like a 15-minute moment where you had to teach everyone else on Zoom, share your music, and you're just kind of let free to do it. Wow. And as long as you go through, there's obviously a criteria. As long as you hit every criteria, whether it's on Zoom or in person, you either pass or fail. And that was it, really. And you just went through all the different assessments. Level four, which was mainly a lot more written work and than the life coaching. I had to just do the same thing on Zoom and do a life coaching session with someone on Zoom and then submit it. So that was very strange, because you didn't get, that was all self-taught and self-learned through study and videos and things like that. That wasn't tutored to me. So that was quite difficult. But I did literally, like, I won't say, oh, I found it easy. I stayed up till 5 in the morning getting my assessments done. So my deadline was complete. Yeah, because I was to the wire on my deadlines. Absolutely to the wire.
Well, how could you not be? There's so much to get through.
There's so much to do. Yeah, because I finished the level 3, obviously, on the virtual clinic. And they were like, yeah, you've all passed. You've just got to send in the written work. And I mean, the written work was over 200 pages of forms to fill out and of questions. And it's like an A-level, you know, like it's a lot of work. It's not as easy as I think people think it is. I know there's a lot of qualifications on the internet where you can just get an easy PT qualification here and there, but I did it through Train Fitness, and they're studious, you know. There was a lot to it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I think I was a little bit complacent when I first was like, oh, just get a PT qualification, it'll be fine.
No, if you do it properly, look, you're talking to the converted here. Obviously, I have a passion for fitness. That's why I found what you did fascinating, because it's in a field that I love, but also I know the work it takes. And to have done it during this year we've had, to come out with something, and like I said, you adapted, you adjusted, and you overcame. And I think I was so proud of you, because I knew what you went through. And I know
I was moaning a lot at the time. I was like, no, I'm tired. I haven't got this done, I haven't got that. And you were like, how's it going? I was like, I don't want to talk about it.
But we were texting, I think, the day before yesterday or yesterday, how in a saturated market, because like you say, almost anyone's a PT or anyone's offering online stuff right now. You just have to be, it seems like an Instagram model and you're a PT, you know. But when you, if you really look for the qualified, and I learned quickly the difference, because when I was getting in shape for Valjean, I worked with former bodybuilders. Yes. I worked with tier 4 people in Equinox in New York with Brian, who was a powerlifting coach. So the language, the knowledge, and as a tutor, or as a pupil, I should say, when I was learning, how quickly and quicker I got stronger and better at my moves when you're being taught by someone who knows what they're doing.
Who actually knows what they're doing. It's
a big difference.
Yeah, it is. It's very difficult. Now I feel like I've got more knowledge than I ever did, because coming from the MT dancer background, certain aspects of it, you know, when you've been taught yourself, you know how to talk to people, and you know more from a form side and things like that. The technique of things comes more naturally. But then you also have to realize that you're not dealing with other dancers, or you're dealing with anyone and everyone as a client. And I think when I got past the level 3, which a lot of people do, and I went into the level 4, which is a specialist diploma in it. So you go more into, I can be GP referred a client to make a program for them if they're diabetic or they're obese, so I can work specially with those people, but a normal PT would have to refer them to other people. And the problem we have these days, it's the same as a nutritionist. A lot of PTs give out nutrition advice, which is allowed, but if they start giving out meal plans and all of this, we're not actually allowed to do that as a level 3 PT. We can only advise people, and we can give tips, and we can do, like, you can say, oh, I think you should be on X amount of calories and things like this, but you shouldn't be telling people exactly what they should be eating because you're not a nutritionist. And I think that is something that is really pushed to the line in this in fitness industry, because a lot of people are giving out food advice here, there and everywhere. And that is something that if someone came to me and was like, I need help with this, 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 I'd be like, okay, that's cool. I can get you to a certain point. But if not, I need to refer you to a nutritionist. And I think there has to be an element of knowing your knowledge and your qualifications well enough to go, it's okay to refer people elsewhere and not have to be, oh, I need the client, you know? And I think my knowledge has really upped from that avenue as well, and knowing what you can and can't say and what you're qualified to do as well, because there's nothing worse than being with someone like what you were saying, like when you were training for Valjean, you went to the right people. You could have just gone to anybody and probably been trained completely wrong, and it might have took you 6 months longer, but you didn't have the time to do that, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I get asked a lot about fitness only through me sharing my passion for it on social media, but that doesn't make me a trainer. And that's why even if I put out a workout, I'll always write, I don't know what I'm talking about. This is only answering the question of like, what did you do in the gym today?
Yeah,
this is what
that's completely harmless. That's fine. Yeah. If someone's just being like, so what did you do today in the gym? I can tell you, but that also doesn't mean it's going to work for them, but they might just be inspired to do that. It's not, that's, I think that's completely harmless. It's when people are adding on the false knowledge to it or saying, oh, this is how you should do this, when actually they don't have the qualifications backing to do that. I think like, and that's where there's such a fine line. But I think that's just where I'm just so much more aware of it now. Whereas before, I probably would have took the advice of all these people and just been like, yeah, tell me what to do. Whereas now I'm like, no, don't tell me what to do. You're not allowed to do that. And so it's just being more aware, I think.
Well, because I worked with such great trainers, especially coming from ex-bodybuilders, like real deal, like Dalton, this my Canadian trainer, he was a tank, man. He was 53 and he,
that's when you know when they're 53 and they still gotta look like that.
You wish a 20-year-old wish he had that body, and his functionality was incredible. He's still doing the splits at that size.
Yeah,
so I learned a lot through him, and he was a natural bodybuilder too. He just had great genes. You know, some people just have it.
And some people have it, that great. In them, and that's very lucky.
But what I found, and it's still evident today when you see on social media and all these plans that are out there, and I find, I can only speak from my experience as a dude looking, I learned quickly that comparison is the thief of joy. Do not compare.
Absolutely, do not do that.
And you look at some of these photos.
Difficult,
and I think,
though.
I'm like, these plans are good, but how come you're not telling people the PEDs you're on or the steroids or the testosterone? Now, I'm not anti that stuff. I'm anti bullshit. At least tell people.
Yeah, at least tell them that, oh, this is how I got this way.
A lot of people who get this hero status, I'm not going to name any names, but it's obvious who they are. It's like, okay, I'm not saying it doesn't take hard work to get to what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
But you're totally on some help to be that size at that age and that low body fat to muscle density. I'm not saying you can't get extreme amazing results naturally.
Yeah.
But come on, let's all be honest about it. At least be honest about it, because there are a lot of people who are impressionable by it. I see mates of mine who look up to some of these people and I'm like, do they not think that there's a little help along the way?
Yeah. And that me and one of my friends this morning were literally, because I've released my plan this morning, this is what me and my friend were talking about. Because I was like, you know, I'm just a girl who has started this business since like a couple of months ago. I don't have X amount of followers and influencer, like, that's not me. And, but we were talking about things like that, you know, you've got a lot of influencers out there that will, I'm not going to mention any names either. I'm being very careful about what I say.
They cash in on their following.
Yes. Yeah. And, or they've released something and they'll be like, oh, this is how you should do this. And then years later or 6 months later, they're saying, this is how this happened or it affected me. And they're actually, and I was like, well, 2 years ago, you were telling me that was right. And now you're telling me that was absolute bullshit, like what you said, you know? And now I was like, so what's right? Yeah. But actually, maybe you're just going with the trend of actually, no, don't do this to your body. And it's like, but you did that 2 years ago. And you told me that that was the thing to do to get me in shape, yeah, or get me this way. And I think that's what is worrying these days, because it is a trend. The fitness industry is a trend at the moment, and it is, which is great. People should stay in shape and look after yourself mentally and physically. That's amazing. But
yeah,
it also causes a lot of problems. And that's where the whole life coach thing for me has been really kind of empowering, to know that I can help on both levels now. And not just,
so tell me about life coaching. I don't know much about that. I hear this term a lot.
Yes.
It sounds pretty cool. What is it? What is, how does someone look for it?
There's two different ways, really. You can either be GP referred. If you are at your GP, what was that
a
question?
GP can refer you to a life coach?
Yes.
What would cause them to do that?
From my personal experience, it was when I was in a difficult place mentally, and it gets to a point where you need to talk to someone. So there's different people you can talk to, and that's either, if you're finding it hard as a life coach, I kind of sit back. It's not like therapy, and I think that's the thing that people get a little bit mixed up on, because I don't have the qualifications to be someone's therapist. I just have the qualifications to sit down with someone and say, okay, what do you want to achieve in X amount of time? And I'm kind of like a goal setter, but I talk to people with that goal set in mind from a PT perspective. So a lot of my clients will probably be health and fitness based, not necessarily like, I don't know, something else. But then that will come into like your emotional well-being and things like that. That's where the life coaching comes in as well. So for like my assessment, I actually used my sister, because it's all I could do through Zoom. And so I sat down and spoke to her about what goals she would like to achieve, or where she felt like she was at in life, or why have you come to me today, kind of thing. Like, because a lot of people don't realize that they need a life coach, because they kind of just say, oh, well, I'm going to tell myself to do this in X amount of time. But actually breaking down those goals to make them realistic and also make them scalable in your life is where people, I think, struggle, because we can all say, oh, I said I was going to do this and I never got it done. And it's like, well, why? Why did you not get it done? What was the reasoning for that? Where was the boundaries, or where were the restrictions? And that's where I come in to try and sort it all out and piece it together to allow that to be, I guess, doable is probably a bad word.
Well,
but
I think you said a great word there was scalable, because I think people sometimes look at the overall result and it can be daunting. And if it's not, if you don't set those scalable goals, then you it's those little victories that get you to the finish line, right? And if you haven't set that, and with a life coach, it'll help you be accountable for someone who might not have that discipline.
Yeah, so you have like check-ins X amount of time, like, but you work on those together as well. You'll say, well, what do you need from me as a life coach? Do you need to talk to me in 2 weeks' time, or do you need to talk to me, should we give it 4 weeks? But you can talk to me at any point in those 4 weeks if you need me, and we can. And it's about assessing the goals as you make them as well. Because if someone has a weight loss goal or something like that, you know, it's not just going to happen like that. It's better to be sustainable and make life changes and behavioral changes to get to that goal is where I come in, instead of just being like, yeah, do a fat loss program, because it's not sustainable. I think like I don't think they're a bad thing if someone needs to achieve something by a certain amount of time or just for themselves, but there then has to be the sustainable element afterwards, because then otherwise you go backwards, I believe. And from personal experience, I feel like you can go backwards. And with the whole life coaching thing, it is about, it's just making things sustainable and making it realistic as well, where a goal is concerned. It's kind of a big goal setting thing, really. That's the best way to put it. But it is bringing that emotional and psychological well-being into it.
And I think when you do break it down, I know for me, especially when it comes, whether it's fitness or music or learning, getting better at the banjo or guitar, when I have these little steps and you reach them, it keeps it fun as well. And ultimately, even going to the gym, it's got to be fun.
It's not a chore. It shouldn't be, oh, I'm only doing this.
Yeah, you have to enjoy it.
Otherwise, you have to find another way of doing it. Because there are a lot of people that will just be like, oh, I've been told to do this, so therefore I'm doing it. A lot of people will come to me and be like, I've been told to go to a life coach. And then I'm like, well, why? And then I don't know. I'm like, great, okay, well, we need to break that wall down and talk to you then, don't we? Because there has to be a reason why someone is coming to me, whether out of their own choice or because they've been referred. There has to be a reason. And I think the main thing is the whole why. The why is the biggest question all the time. So, oh, I've got this goal. Well, why do you have that goal? And a lot of people's goals are always either aesthetic or they're something about their life that they're not happy about. And I think the main thing that I have to do is figure out why. Why are you not happy where you are already? And a lot of that always comes down to like a self-esteem or a self-awareness. And that's where I have to kind of mold that person back to being okay with where they're at already and knowing that wherever you are now, that is fine. If you want to improve that, that's great. But why do you find that place where you are now so difficult to accept? Think that makes sense?
I think you're gonna be good at this. I can see you have a passion for it.
Yeah, I do.
Now, because a lot of it's online, like this thing you're offering is going to be online based for now, obviously. Yeah. Do you have a limit of how many you can manage?
I've told myself that on this program, I'm only going to allow X amount of people. I think I'm going to wait and see how much interest I even get because it's my first program. But I have, in my mind, I've got a limited amount of spaces because I want to be able to give my time properly to those people, because all well and good saying, oh, this is, because mine is a personal program. It's not everyone, let's go on a fat loss journey. Everyone, let's do this. Because some people, from when I did a little bit of like market research, some people were just like, yeah, I want to have like a transformation program in 8 weeks. And some people were like, I'd really like to just get off the sofa. And that's it. Like, I just want to improve where I'm at the moment. And that's where I kind of wanted to be relatable and let everyone have their own goal. And I don't feel like you can do that on a mass scale and actually be mindful and watch people's journey enough if I've got 50 people doing the program. I don't have the time for that. And it just wouldn't be fair to be doing that to those people either. Like, if I'm going to have a one-to-one session with each person, which I am going to do, to start the program off, to discuss their goals, I don't have the time for that. And that's just being realistic with myself as well and allowing myself the right amount of preparation that I'm going to need to do it for everyone else. I've kind of got like around 20 would be amazing, because I feel like I could deal with that workload, but also allow myself the space to be able to work with those people properly.
Well, good for you. And I love that you did all this during such an extraordinary time, which I know some days were really hard to kind of keep going, but you did. And I was so proud of you and inspired. It made me, you know, I see what you do and I can take that for my own goals and whatever things I'm trying to accomplish. And I think it's amazing that you did that. So I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I don't think for a second you have to worry about followers or lack of whatever. Yeah. Like you say, you're looking for a strong core to build your clientele and you're in it for the long run. You're in it for the right reasons, because you're still, once things get back, I'm sure you're still going to get back to the stage. So you're going to have to juggle
Hopefully.
Those worlds.
Yeah.
Do you want to get back?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's still my lifetime ambition and my love deep down and my passion. It's just nice to know that I have something that I enjoy equally as much. I think I think for the fitness thing, I do it more for other people. It's not, and that's where I get the enjoyment out of it, because I know that I'm helping a lot of people. Whereas the musical theatre industry, I do that for myself because it mentally makes me happy as anything. And I think it was actually my mum, because obviously we have at this time done like self-tapes and auditions and things throughout these 8 months. And my mum being my mum, because she's the only one here, she was helping me with a script at one point. And she said, the difference in you when you are doing this is ridiculous. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I'm trying to play it cool. And she was like, no, she said, you have a different air about you when you're doing this. You can tell how much you love it. And I was like, well, it's all I've ever done since I was little. Like, it's what I've always wanted. So the fact that I can't do it at the moment is, yeah, devastating, but my passion hasn't changed. I know a lot of people have had to retrain and do different things in this time, but that hasn't taken anything from my love for what I do. So I just, yeah, just hope that everything allows things to happen and we'll just see what happens for me. I don't know.
So two quick questions before you go.
Okay.
Well, to wrap up, how can people get in touch with you if they want to even just explore the idea of what you're offering with the fitness, life coaching? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Either Instagram or email. My email is emily@emilysquibcoaching.com, or my Instagram is, oh God, there's two. Have my main one. Squibbly. You're going to have to link that because that's like hard to spell. It's my surname. Squibbleey.
I'm going to look it up. Okay. We'll link it all in. What made you smile yesterday?
What, New Year's Eve?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
These are just in general.
So I always ask people, what made you smile yesterday?
Friends and family.
Okay. So you were surrounded by friends and family yesterday?
I wasn't surrounded. I had my mum and my dog here last night, which was lovely, but just still staying connected. Like having that moment of gratitude. I think I've keep having my moments of just being like, oh, it's nice that we still have ways of being in contact with each other. You know, we're very lucky that we have that. They didn't have that years ago. So yeah, just staying in contact with people constantly. And yesterday I just had that moment of like, yeah, we are lucky. It's been a weird, like, especially this month has been so strange, but at least like I'm still talking to people on the phone, texting around, like getting those Happy New Year moments in. It was nice. Yeah. I think that did still make me smile.
What a great outlook. You're amazing. First childhood memory that comes to mind that makes you smile.
My granddad.
Go on.
Yeah, he
is it a specific memory?
Oh no, just him in general. Like we grew up very we're a very, very close family, and we grew up always around my nan and granddad, and we lost him about, I don't even know how long, I think it was 17, 18 years now. But so he's my fondest memory because he was like my best friend and probably one of my biggest supporters of what I do. So like my first ever show when I was younger, he was like the one telling everyone about it, you know. My family were as well, but I always remember him being so supportive of it. So I feel like if he could see me today, he'd be very, very proud of me, which is what I like to think as well. So
yeah, I have no doubt he would be.
I hope so.
Emily, thanks for the hang. I truly, I'm honest when I say, I think what you've accomplished has been nothing short of inspiring. I think you're going to do so well in the fitness and life coaching side of things, and you're handling it in such a responsible way. So I have no problem shouting you out because it's great. And I think it's a real healthy way to start building alongside your calling in life, but something you're equally passionate about, and you're doing it for the right reasons. You want to help people. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
hopefully we can see each other face to face soon.
Oh, who knows?
All right, darling. We'll speak soon.
Thanks for hanging with Emily and myself. Please do check her out on Instagram at Squibbly with three E's, Squibbly Fire Fitness. Or if you have any queries, please reach out to Emily with a DM or email her at emilyquibcoaching.com. You can get all those in the description to this podcast. I think Emily is going to make a great fitness and life coach. She's got a great outlook on things and will definitely be someone who can help you reach your goals by keeping you accountable and inspired. The Hang is produced by Dori Beristein and Alan Seals from the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find me online at bpn.fm/The Hang. Don't forget, you can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Ramin Karimloo, on YouTube, a roaming Iranian, or my Facebook page, Official Ramin Karimloo. Music for my podcast is by my friends and one of my favorite bands, The Dives. Please check them out at their website, thedivesmusic.com. That's thedivesmusic.com, where you can get to know them, hear their incredible music, get links to all their socials, and most importantly, their tour dates, where you can find out where you can see and hear them live. They are truly a great band, and they are phenomenal live. Check them out.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.